present Chambers, written by Clive Coleman, starring James Fleet, John Byrd, Leslie Sharp, and Jonathan Kidd. Good morning, sir.
Oh, did you see that smug, self-righteous pontificator on the box last night, Vince? It's a disgrace.
Yes, sir, I quite agree. Venables picks the team. He should keep his big chin shut.
Venables? What are you talking about? They had Mark Morsfield, QC, on Newsnight. Really is unseemly for the bar when barristers start slavering to get on television purely to enhance their own reputations.
Was it the Brendan Doyle appeal, sir?
I approach that case with complete impartiality, Vince. I do the same with every guilty thug I prosecute. The man wrote a 9-page confession, for goodness sake.
That's just the way things go, sir. Who could have guessed they'd be able to prove he was illiterate?
I mislay one report from an educational psychologist and another from a handwriting expert. It happens. But do they bother to ask me onto the program? No. They give Morsfield another opportunity to show the Lord Chancellor what a man of the people he is.
He does seem to have popular appeal.
And I haven't, I suppose.
Well, it never hurts to get your face on TV. Morsfield only became a QC after they released the Renault 5.
You mean the Brentford 4?
That's right. He was on so much after the 4 were free, they hired him to do all those car ads.
Oh, advertising he didn't, did he? How demeaning. The car in front comes with a fully tested litigator as standard, otherwise known as the driver's windbag.
Briefing for you this morning, sir.
You see, Vince, some of us just get on with the real business of barristering, representing people in need, not grubbing around for the TV shortcut. What is it?
The Crown against Speed, sir. Multiple theft.
Yes, it would be.
Am I right in thinking you've represented him before, sir?
Bernie, never mind the evidence, Speed. The man comes up with more long-winded defences than the entire cabinet. I'll be stuck in court for weeks on lousy legal aid fees. Can't you get rid of it?
It's a little difficult, sir. The client specifically requested you.
Yes, well, one doesn't like to disappoint. But then again, if I spend the time doing privately paid work, your 10% looks a lot healthier.
Oh, forgive me, sir. You have, of course, got a long-standing prior fixture booked into the diary, which I shall arrange this instant.
Good. Give this Speed brief to Hillary. It'll help to fill in one of the black holes in his practice. Hello, is that the Newsnight office? It is, good. My name is John Fuller Carp. I was prosecuting counsel in the Brendan Doyle case. You did the feature on it last night. Now, the last thing I want is a shamefaced apology, but I never actually received my invitation to appear on the program. Not sure about broad appeal? Yes, I know the initials BBC don't stand for Barristers Benevolent Club. Oh, I see. You didn't want to run the risk of rude, haranguing cross-examination on the programme. Well, yes, thank you, Mr. Paxman. Come in.
Ah, John, I've got everything set up. It starts in 5 minutes.
Do you mind, Hillary? I'm working.
Sorry, I'm so wound up in it, I suppose I'm more nervous for her than she is for herself.
What are you talking about?
Ruth, she's making a debut on TV.
Don't be stupid, Hillary. Have you any idea what it takes to get invited onto television? They're hardly going to ask her.
But they have. She's the legal eagle on daytime TV. I'm sure I mentioned it to you.
Daytime TV? Oh, entertainment Valium for frustrated housewives. For a moment, I thought you meant she was doing something serious.
Oh, I don't know. Any old hack barrister seems to be able to get onto programmes like Panorama and Newsnight, but to get onto the phone-ins on Matthew and Trudy, that shows really broad appeal. Come on, it'll be starting any minute.
Don't you see, Hillary, it's quick fix, instant solutions. People ring in with what are very real, very complex legal problems, and they get an answer in 30 seconds. It's appalling. How can you charge people proper money for that sort of advice?
Advice is free.
What?
Free legal advice.
Yes, I understand each of the words. It's just a sense.
Well, I think it helps people.
Come on, if you're so obsessed with it, let's go and watch. At least I'll know what to expect when the complaints come in.
It's quite a serious program, John. Once you get into it, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
So, let's have a look at what's coming up on today's Have a Very Nice Morning. In just a moment, we take your calls to Have A's Legal Eagle, Barrister Ruth Quirk.
Let's do the rundown.
At 10:10, we've got the one the girls have been waiting for you. 10 past is the time for Have A's exclusive, in-depth interview with the original, former Take Thatter, Robbie Williams.
He is gorgeous, isn't he? Even the mums like me think he's a smasher.
That's like love and longing inside the very private and sensationally frank world of Robbie Williams, exclusive and in-depth at 10:10.
And at 12 minutes past, it's carrier. What type of carrier bag is your bag? Is Paper preferred, or is plastic fantastic? Wolf from the Gladiators joins us to give his views on the ideal shopping receptacle.
Some real fireworks there, I can promise you.
At quarter past, it's
Godstoppers. Hammy's sneaky chef, the Reverend Baltimore Chamberlain, makes a brave and welcome return to talk about food after plastic surgery.
The smell's been driving me mad all morning. All I know is that jelly's involved somewhere.
I thought you said this is serious, Hillary.
It is. Have you seen Anne and Nick? Look, it's Ruth.
Very great pleasure for all of us on Have a Very Nice Morning to welcome Barrister Ruth Quirk to answer your legal questions. Welcome to Have a Ruth. Or should I call you Your Honour?
That's for judges, Trudy. I'm just a simple barrister. Ruth's fine.
Well, there's a serious point to what Trudy's saying, isn't there? I mean, it really does seem to a layperson that with the law, there are some things that are legal and quite a lot that could be called illegal. It's a bit of a minefield, particularly for women.
I'm not sure what you're getting at.
I don't want to elaborate, because obviously it's a very personal thing. But it's nice to hear another side to the debate, isn't it, Trudy?
Yes. Let's go to our first caller, Sylvie in Nottingham. Sylvie, you're through to Ruth.
Hello, Ruth.
Hello, Sylvie. What's the problem?
It's my boss. I thought he was a laugh at the beginning, but he started brushing up against me and everything, and I've got this feeling that one day he's going to grab me.
Sylvie, love, calm down. This is an increasingly common problem for women in the workplace. The advice I'm going to give you holds good for vast numbers of women who haven't been able to come forward as you have. Sylvie, harassment amounting to assault is both a crime and a civil wrong, isn't it, Trudy?
Oh, sorry, I was distracted. The smell of that jelly is absolutely gorgeous. You think Cynthia's wrong, do you?
Is there perhaps a sense in which Sylvie's boss is in fact the real victim here, Ruth?
What did I tell you, Hillary? A complex legal problem which receives no considered advice at all. It's outrageous.
If he grabs you, he's assaulting you, Sylvie. You're entitled to use reasonable force to defend yourself.
For goodness sake, girl, reasonable force has to be explained by reference to proper legal authority.
One of the leading cases on reasonable force in the workplace is the Crown against Lemming.
Ah, you see, she is explaining it by reference to authority. Lemming, didn't you defend that case, John?
Yes, I did, Court of Appeal.
Defence counsel in that case argued that the defence of reasonable force doesn't apply in the employer-employee relationship.
It was regarded as a rather daring argument at the time.
But Lord Justice Fraser dismissed the suggestion as implausible, legally and morally bankrupt and inexplicable in human logic.
All right. Fraser wasn't entirely persuaded, but what can you expect? He's from Scotland.
In other words, Sylvie, don't worry about defending yourself with whatever force is reasonable.
So I could, like, just shove him away?
Well, yeah, but do you knit?
Not really. I've always thought it was a bit glamorous for me.
Take your thought. A knitting needle to the dangly sweet spot does tend to make a point. We simply can't allow men to get away with the kind of behaviour you've been subjected to. Know you've got a remedy under the common law, women, and don't be afraid to use it.
Unbelievable.
Yes, she was great, wasn't she?
Great? Great. Oh, yes, these chambers are really going to catch the Lord Chancellor's eye by going on television and declaring open season on the male testes. As soon as she gets back, tell her I want to see her in my room.
Ruth, there you are. That was sensational.
Oh, did you think it went okay? I wasn't so sure.
I've just been down to the telephone room. The switchboard was on fire. We haven't had as many calls since Trudy started hormone replacement therapy. I hope I didn't pitch it at too high a level intellectually. I always try not to, but it's surprisingly difficult.
I don't think it was a problem. Is Trudy around? I'd like to say goodbye.
She's finishing the sneaky recipe. It's written into her contract. But actually, I did think of one thing before you go.
Sure.
It's really funny the way thoughts come up, isn't it? Have you ever thought about it? Thoughts? Where do we get them, huh? It's an interesting angle. Could make a good phone in.
I'm a bit pressed for time now, Matthew.
Yeah, of course, yes. It's just that someone was talking about law, and I just thought, what would happen if you, a normal, not even famous person, were in a supermarket, wandering around, absent-mindedly, and you walked out, forgetting to pay for an Old Spice Body Glow skin tonic and facial scrub set, right? I mean, would that technically count as a criminal offence?
Not since the repeal of the Cologne Macho Bad Taste shoplifting and pilfering regulations of 1973.
Really?
No, I was joking. It's not an offence if there was no intention to steal. Has someone been charged?
Great. Oh, I mean, no, not at all. No way. I don't even use the skin tonic. Look, Ruth, like many thinking men, I like to learn from all our contributors. If it's okay with you, I'd really like to run through a number of these hypothetical legal scenarios with you. Tax irregularities, fare dodging. I mean, is persistent adultery a basis for divorce? Interesting question.
I'm really busy at the moment, Matthew. Why don't you fix an appointment with McClark?
Yes, that would be really helpful. For the programme.
Crimewatch UK production office.
Ah, hello. This is a bit difficult. My name's John Fuller Carr. Perhaps you've heard of me. I thought I might be the kind of person your programme's looking for.
Right. Could you tell me what you've done?
Yes, certainly. On the criminal side, a couple of big frauds, false accounting, shoplifting. plenty of offences of violence, robberies, GBHs.
Nick, Sue, we've got a live one. Get Jackie Haynes to start tracing the call.
I'll have to admit that things have been a little quiet on the sexual side recently, but I have got an indecent exposure coming up.
Look, we're definitely interested.
Well, that's marvellous. What a relief.
It must be a great release having spoken about
it. Yes, as a matter of fact, yes. I mean, if somebody who's only been doing crime 5 minutes can get onto daytime TV, it's only right that someone with my experience should be featured on a discerning programme. I think there'd be popular interest in my contribution, don't you?
Oh, yes. I think if we could get you on, a lot of people's minds would be put at rest.
Yes, tell me, would you be able to send a car for me?
Well, it'll be more of a van than a car. Motorcycle outriders.
A van? That hardly seems an appropriate means of transport for a distinguished barrister.
Oh, you're another barrister.
Yes, and as I said, I'm an authority on a broad range of legal matters.
Well, you'll have heard of the offence of wasting producers' time, then.
Eye contact. Keep the eye contact. And so, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, it is the defence submission which should be submitted, and which I submit. Though not in a submissive way. Damn! Two pitfalls and a submission.
Hi, Hill. Why have you got your robes on in chambers?
Ruth, you were brilliant.
Oh, come on, Hillary. I was normal.
Well, some people are great when they're normal, and you're one of them. I brought you in some cuttings from my asparagus fern, just to say well done. They're in that shoebox on your desk.
Oh, thanks, Hill.
They're not much, but they grow really nicely.
Oh, there you are, miss. These just arrived for you. 4 dozen long-stemmed champagne roses.
God, they're beautiful. Let me put them on my desk. Hillary, put that shoebox on the floor, will you? Oh, they're great.
Hybrid Albus. Yes, they look nice. They do tend to suffer from root mealybug and vine weevils.
I happen to know they're very difficult to come by at this time of year. Now, if you want sempervirens, that's your semi-evergreen climbing rose, 2 dozen assorted colours, no problem. I'll just mention it.
You won't have any problem with those ferns.
Hmm. I wonder who they're from.
How does Vince know so much about buying such a wide range of things?
Buying? Half-inching, more like. Didn't you know he runs organised crime in Dagenham? And to give his life a bit of balance, he runs disorganised chambers here.
That's a joke, right?
Not really. Oh, they're from Matthew. I thought he'd taken a bit of a shine to me.
Matthew? But what about Trudy?
No, they're just from Matthew. Him. He's coming down to chambers to talk to me about a hypothetical adultery and divorce. It's always the same with blokes like that, isn't it?
What? You don't mean you'd like it to be a real divorce?
Well, at least that'd be a bit more honest, wouldn't it? These smell wonderful.
Ruth, my room. Come.
I beg your pardon?
My room. Come on.
Are you all right?
Oh, yes, I'm fine, thank you. I'm very well. Of course, I'd forgotten that I'm now dealing with the star of daytime broadcasting for the criminally inane.
Oh, I see. That's what this is all about. And there was me, prepared to give you the benefit of the insanity defence when you were just being plain rude.
That's what passes for wit on daytime telly, is it? Good God, I wonder anyone ever bothers to come into work. Well, I appreciate that plain English probably isn't sufficiently sexy for you. So, let me start again. 2 minutes, Miss Quirk. Big production, one-to-one interview in the head of Chambers studio. You'll forgive me if I don't lay on any sneaky snacks. Ah, Ruth, come in.
What the hell do you think you're doing talking to me like that in front of another member of Chambers?
I've tried really hard with you since you inveigled your way into these chambers, Ruth. I've been prepared to overlook your background, your education.
Oh, thank you very much.
No, I haven't done it to win your thanks. But I don't expect a barrister from what is still, thank goodness, an established set of chambers to throw everything I've done for her back in my face by appearing on this cheap Matthew and Trudy television thing.
Do you know what you are? You're a dinosaur. No, I take that back. A dinosaur knows he's extinct.
How dare you?
Look, I hate to be the person to tell you that the 19th century is over. I know they don't bother mentioning it at public school. But face it, John, the public think barristers are overpaid, pompous and stuck in some Dickensian time warp. It's important to show them we can be relevant and real.
Pompous? Me? With respect, I rather disagree. I think if you actually took the time to ask the average man in the street, he'd say, prima facie at least, was pretty much in touch with popular taste.
Oh, really? Well, I don't exactly see TV producers breaking their doors down to get you on the box. The public aren't interested in what the legal profession was like before Suez.
Oh, how bloody typical of your type. It just so happens I've had plenty of media offers. Did you know that Crime Watch wanted to send a whole fleet of vehicles to pick me up?
So why didn't you go, then?
What? Oh, well, because unlike you, I want to choose a television appearance where dignity and relevance can peacefully coexist.
This is terribly kind of you, Vince. Are you sure you can spare the time?
No problem, sir.
Thanks. I mean, I just want to, you know, limber up. Make sure the old questioning technique is on song for the cameras.
I quite understand, sir.
Marvellous. If you just sit there. Great. Right. And so, I put it to you that you are a dishonest, racist, sexist thug on the make. You're supposed to respond, Vince. I'm impugning your character.
Oh, sorry, I just thought you were checking who I was.
Jerry, Vince, am I interrupting something?
Not at all. Vince and I were just chatting, weren't we? It's not as if I was cross-examining him, was it, Vince?
No. Yes, no. Oh, sorry, you're confusing me.
Just answer the question. Sorry.
What are you doing in your robes, Hilary?
Well, actually, I'm practicing my advocacy. The truth is, I'm a bit nervous about the cameras.
What are you talking about? What cameras?
The ones in court.
Don't be stupid, Hilary. They don't have cameras in court.
I know. I mean, they didn't, and they don't, but they have, for a bit. The Lord Chancellor set up a pilot scheme for televising trials. It's all totally random, but apparently one of mine has been chosen.
One of your trials is going to be televised?
Yes, the Crown Against Speed. That's pretty elaborate defence. Could go on for weeks.
Yes. Would you mind if I borrowed Vincent for a moment? Perhaps you could question your desk. It's solid mahogany. It shouldn't break under cross-examination. What the hell is going on, Vincent? Am I the only person in these chambers without my own television series?
It was the Lord Chancellor's selection. I had no control over it.
It is my case.
They selected it after you told me to return it to Mr. Tripping.
Well, get it back. Don't you realise what this could mean to me? You know what happened to the lawyers in the O.J. Simpson trial, and they weren't even English.
I can't do it, sir. Once a brief's returned, that's it. And Mr. Tripping's been practising really hard. I think it's just what his confidence needs.
Solid confidence. You could sit here on a Tomahawk missile. You'd still be about as terrifying in cross-examination as the Andrex puppy. I'm 50 times the advocate he is, and I've got popular appeal.
Well, you're certainly more experienced.
When I open my mouth, there's a magic, Vincent. A power. It's like having sex, only it's all oral.
That explains why I always fancy a cigarette after I've had a chat with you. With all that power, I suggest you talk to Mr. Tripping, sir.
Hilary, are you free for a word?
You're a duplicitous bigot, aren't you?
Oh, come on, let's not jump to conclusions. Let me explain first.
John, I'm still practising.
Oh, right. Impressive. You know, Hilary, over the last few years, you've really developed as a barrister and indeed as a man.
Thank you, John.
Well, I think what you were like when you first started.
I used to chew my briefs regularly.
You were half a barrister then, now you're twice the man. That's why I feel I can talk to you on a matter of some delicacy. I've just had a very distressed Ruth Quirk in my room.
Oh, no. What's the matter with her?
Ruth's a very proud woman, Hilary. She's also a very fragile woman. But my worst fear for our colleague is that she might become a very bitter woman.
How could Ruth become a bitter woman?
I know all the signs, Hilary. Trust me, I'm married. Ruth turned to me with a problem, and in speaking to you in what I believe to be her and the Chamber's best interests, I hope I can trust you never to mention that we have spoken on the subject.
Absolutely.
She's worried, Hilary. In that charming, womanly, working-class way, she's terribly, terribly worried.
She thinks that you appearing on court TV is somehow going to steal her thunder as the legal eagle.
But she's always encouraging me to be more confident. I thought doing this would really impress her.
It would, but don't you see it would impress her so much more if you didn't do it?
I've got to talk to her about this, John. I'm sure I can explain things to her.
In normal circumstances, you might be able to, but can't you see these aren't normal circumstances?
What do you mean?
Well, the thing is, you see, I really didn't want to mention this, but, Ruth is clearly in love with you.
Loves in Ruth? Really?
Clearly.
When Deborah entered the convent, I said I'd give myself 6 years. But then I cheated and added another couple of years.
Ruth, the first woman I felt, you know... Oh, Hillary, how ignorant you are of your own power. Ruth feels that the relationship is at a very delicate stage, glorious, intoxicating, but very delicate. Your appearance on television so soon after her own could spoil all of that.
Right, I can see that.
I come to you in order to help two very dear and very fine colleagues. In spite of some not inconsiderable personal inconvenience, I am prepared to offer myself as your television replacement.
Oh, thank you, John. Thank you, from both of us.
Please, Hilary, you're embarrassing me. But you do see how important it is that Ruth never learns of this discussion.
Of course, you've thought of everything.
Why don't you go and tell Vince to bring me the brief?
Yes, I'll do that immediately.
God, you're good. Court TV, you deserve your own network. Oh, Vince, I'm on court TV in an hour. My wig still isn't back from those cleaners yet. Are you sure they're any good?
Calm down, sir. They're very old and extremely obliging. Oh, and they're cheap.
Yeah, well, maybe the last time they kept it curled up in the shop for 3 weeks with a bowl of milk. I only got it back because I saw a notice they pinned to a tree in Lincoln's Inn. Stray Persian grey, obedient but undemonstrative.
Don't worry, I'll get onto them immediately, sir.
Yes, well, do. Who's that sitting in reception with all those flowers?
Oh, it's that bloke from the TV programme Have a Very Good and Nice Happy Morning or something. Matthew Hoadley, he's come to see Miss Quirk. She's in con. She's not going to be finished for a good while. I told him, but he wanted to wait.
It's Matthew, isn't it?
Yes, Matthew Hoadley. Have a...
Very nice morning, yes, I know. Look, I share a room as a colleague with a certain person, and, well, I won't beat about the bush, but I mean... Everyone's got the right to live their own life. And I don't know what I'd do if I weren't married, but I'm not yet at all, and it might never happen. But you should know that there is someone else, and even if they've never spoken about it, it's at a very delicate stage at the moment, apparently. So I just hope that's clear.
I'm afraid I've got not the
strike. Good. Well, I'm sorry I had to be so blunt.
Mr. Hoadley, John Fuller Carp, head of Chambers. I do apologize to my colleague. He's been under a lot of pressure.
Not at all, Mr. Fuller Carp. Life makes people, but people make life.
Indeed. Actually, it's rather unfortunate that you dropped in, Mr. Hoadley. You see, I have a rather lengthy television appearance in court, some scheme of the Lord Chancellor's. It's a mass audience, and you know any pointers from an old hand?
Cilla Black once said two words to me.
Could I ask what they were?
People really count.
Isn't that...
Come down from the mountain.
The mountain?
The intellectual mountain. You know, I find it almost impossible to come to terms with the idea that there may be people out there with less than half my intelligence.
Yes. It seems incredible, doesn't it?
Hit them in the heart. Think about it. I'm a person, you're a person, they're people. What have you got in common?
Being people?
Experience. Share yours with them. Bond. 8 million people helped get me through my vasectomy. If you want them to really love you, love them right back.
Yes, well, that's invaluable.
Mr. Fuller Carp.
Your Honor.
The camera will follow you around the court. You don't need to follow it.
Sorry.
Gentlemen, the nation's eyes are upon this courtroom. I know that I can rely upon you to show not only that justice is done, but that it is done to the highest professional standards.
Mr. Fuller Carp.
Shh, wait a minute. Your Honour, I hesitate to rise so early. I do so merely to endorse Your Honour's weighty and laudable words in which I have profound faith. For in what will be a lengthy trial, I believe there is justice in our hearts and in the hearts of those who watch.
Thank you, Mr. Fuller Carp. Proceed, please.
Indeed, Your Honour. Rest assured, Mrs. Smead, I shall let no prosecution witness rest. Let no opportunity to address a jury on your behalf go begging in securing your acquittal from this monstrously trumped-up charge.
Oh, yes, actually, there was one thing I want you to say.
And you will be given the opportunity to do so in the witness box for hours, days, and I will be there at every step to assist.
Bernard Smead, you are charged that on the 12th day of January 1996, you did steal 50 video cassette recorders from Mason's Electrical Goods in Waltham Forest. Do you plead guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
What? Objection. Cut.
Are you objecting to your client's guilty plea, Mr. Bullocker?
Your Honour, the stress engendered by the cameras, my client is clearly confused. Might I suggest a short adjournment or perhaps a commercial break whilst I take instructions?
The cameras will continue. You may take instructions quickly.
What are you doing? You just pleaded guilty. Apologise immediately and I'll be able to argue for a change of plea.
But I want to plead guilty.
What do you mean you can't? A guilty plea will be over in minutes. We've got 10 days of television scheduling to fill. And have you given this thorough consideration?
But I am guilty.
No, you're not. You feel guilty, that's all. We all feel guilty from time to time. I gave 2 buttons and a washer to the blind collection this year. I felt a bit guilty at the time. It's natural, but that's not the same as committing a criminal offence.
But I did it. The theft, it was me. I want to come clean for once. I can't go on living a lie.
Why not? You're a criminal, aren't you? You're supposed to live a lie. For goodness sake, you've got a list of convictions as long as my arm. It's not as if it's going to be a big change for you.
I just want to do what's right.
Oh, brilliant. What happened? Did you meet St. Paul on the road to Wormwood Scrubs?
Mr. Fuller Carp!
What?
Mr. Fuller Carp. You are rapidly becoming the least popular barrister in this courtroom. Do you wish to advance any mitigation?
No, Your Honour, yes. I am a person, you are a person, the defendant is a person. What do we have in common?
Are you quite all right?
2 words, Your Honour.
And they are?
Cilla Black, Your Honour.
Matthew, everyone's gone home. What are you doing here?
I needed to talk, to share experience.
Look, can't this wait? I'm really very busy.
We're both people, Ruth. You're a person, me too. Think about it.
I have. Matthew, I think you ought to go.
It's so rare in my line of work to meet a woman who provides the intellectual as well as the physical experience. Surely that has to be shared.
Look, this is getting out of hand. For goodness sake, Matthew, you're married.
Not irrevocably. Oh, Ruth, let's scale the mountains of the intellect and the body.
You couldn't even get past the foothills. Now take your hands off me.
Please, Harlow!
Oh! My face! My face!
Hillary!
I'm sorry, but when someone harasses the person between whom and myself there is, at this stage, nothing spoken, nor would there be, unless by mutual consent, which would never be asked for unless it was forthcoming, well, then I can't just stand by and do nothing.
Hillary, I don't know what you're talking about, but thank God you're still here.
When a person with whom there is not an agreed or articulated arrangement, or anything, is working late, then it's only right to wait outside, in case protection, if needed but never imposed, is required.
You assaulted me!
What's going on? Oh, Hoogly, share your experience and they'll love you. Well, surprise, surprise, the judge didn't seem all that interested in my ex-man.
Get your hands off me!
You ruined it for me, you and that deviously honest criminal. Well, fine, you've won, Ruth. You can be the Chamber's media star lawyer and good luck to you.
Oh, God! That's it, I'm going to the police. You can't just viciously assault me.
Oh, Matthew, I wouldn't say that was an assault. I'd say that was much more like the exercise of reasonable force.
Oh,
there it is again. You see, just reasonable enough to stop an harassing male pervert. If you don't think I'm right, let's ask these 2 independent witnesses.
Absolutely.
Very restrained, if I may say so.
So, you see, I think you'd have a job making it stand up in court. If you stay here much longer, you're going to have a job making it stand up ever. Oh, and by the way, that was the last expert advice you'll be getting from this legal eagle. I resign. Have a very nice evening.
Resigning was the only principal thing to do, Ruth. I take my hat off to you. You won't have to see this monstrous man again. I will personally see him off the chamber's premises. Come on.
Matthew, I hope you're not too shaken up.
Shaken up? After the way I've been treated?
Yes, things did get a little heated. I can only distance myself from the reprehensible behaviour of my colleagues. And, look, I know it's early days yet, but this legal eagle post, got anybody in mind?
You have been listening to Chambers, starring John Byrd, James Fleet, Leslie Sharp and Jonathan King, with Robert Duncan, Susie Brand and Jane Whittenshaw. Chambers is written by Clive Coleman and produced by Paul Schlesinger.